Romans chapter number 8. When you found your place, if you please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Starting in verse number 1. There is therefore now, I like that now part, amen, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he hath raised up Christ from the dead also, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now I want you to pay particular close attention to verse number 9. It says, but ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. I want to preach on the subject of the litmus test of a Christian, the litmus test of a Christian. Ask Brother Saray if he would lift his voice and pray for us. Amen. You may be seated. Now today, I mean, well, all we have to do is look around. We live in a day of tolerance, the political correctness. It's everywhere, isn't it? It's silly, some of the things that are approved of because of political correctness. But here in Romans 8, Paul gives us the litmus test for being a Christian. Now, a litmus test is something that is used to make judgment about whether someone or something is acceptable. Now, this is not a wide or tolerance view. It's an intolerant view. There's only one way to know if a person is born again. Now, you and I can't see it. We may see the effects of it, but you and I can't see it. But it all comes down to what is found here in Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. It says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, the litmus test is, do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? If you do, you're a Christian. If you don't, you're not a Christian. It's as simple as that, amen? A Christian has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. You know, he's born again, he's saved, if they do that, amen? If they have the Spirit of God in them. And so it comes down to this, are you saved? It's based on whether you have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. It's not if, well, I prayed a certain prayer. Well, a lot of people, well, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. Well, a lot of people have a head knowledge, but they don't have a heart knowledge. And we can't have a heart knowledge without the Spirit of God. And so here we have this test here that this is what Jesus said. Let's go to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. This is what the Lord said. In verse number 16, he says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In other words, the Lord is saying here that the world doesn't understand Jesus. They don't understand him. And the reason is they don't have the Spirit. I had a little knowledge of being in church as a kid about Jesus and who he was in some sense, but I didn't have the Spirit to show me things. You must be born again. What that meant. What it meant to be a sinner. You know, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I didn't know that. I didn't have the spiritual sense. The Holy Spirit hadn't convicted my heart to show me I was a sinner. And so here we see that he's saying, listen, the world cannot receive the spiritual things that are out there. Amen? They can't do it. And so it's only because of the Spirit that dwells in us that we're able to discern things. As a Christian now, I can look at something and say, that's not of God. Why? Is it because I've got the knowledge? No, it's because the Spirit lives within me. And I can say, you know what? That doesn't line up with the Bible. All these people that now that you see some of the churches and some of the things that go on in them, and it's all out of order. My Bible tells me that God is a God of order, amen? Everything decent and in order. So a lot of times emotions get caught up in things and, oh, I feel this and that. Yeah, but it goes against the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never, ever go against the Word of God. Your flesh will all the time, but the Spirit won't, amen? So as he talks here, he, you know, they may have a head knowledge, but what's important is the heart knowledge. Now notice, it says here, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. The word paraclete means he's alongside of us. He's there to help us, amen? He's our helper, amen? And it says that he may abide with you, what? Forever. The Bible tells us we're sealed into the day of redemption. When you repent of your sins and you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And he's there until you take your last breath, or if the Lord comes while you're still living, amen, he'll be with you that whole time. Now, you can still fall into sin. You can get back in the old sins you had because you still have a flesh. But at least now you have the Spirit of God, and the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When you say, well, this is just the way I am. Have you ever heard Christians use that as an excuse? They sin and they say, well, I can't help it. This is the way I am. Well, you're calling God a liar. God said you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. He's greater than anything else. So he can give you the ability to overcome that sin. But the problem comes down to you. What do you want more? A closer relationship with God or your sin? That's what you need to understand. Is you have the power within you. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit can overcome all those sins, but we have to give it to him instead of us trying to do things. Amen? So here it says that even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Now, this word seeth means to perceive or to know. They can't perceive spiritual things. They can't know spiritual things. As a lost person, I understood a lot of things, but as far as spiritual things, I didn't understand. Why? Because I didn't have the Spirit of God. Remember what Nicodemus was told by Jesus in John 3:3. He said this, except a man be born again, he cannot see, that same word see, to perceive or to know the kingdom of God. He would not perceive or understand the nature of the kingdom of heaven without the presence of the Spirit. But if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God, and you can see things and you can understand things spiritually because the Spirit of God reveals them to you. Amen? A lot of times when you're reading by yourself alone at home, you're reading the Bible, you know, I always pray this way, Lord, show me something in here that will help me. And a lot of times I can read a verse that I've read 10, 15 times before, and the Holy Spirit will show me something new. I see a few of you shaking your heads. You know what I'm talking about. He shows you those things. All of a sudden, He reveals those things to you. Why? Because your desire is to be more like Him and to get to know Him more. And when you have that desire and you take the effort and put forth the effort to do it and ask for help, give me wisdom, Lord. You know what? That's being able to perceive things. And so He's saying, listen, the world can't receive that because it doesn't see Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Of course, during this time Jesus was alive, He hadn't sent the Spirit yet. He said, when I go, I'm going to send another comforter. Amen? And that word another meant one just the same as. And people need to understand that. We have one God. We believe in one God. In three distinct personalities. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's only one God. But it's, you know, you have God the Father. He's the one that planned everything. Amen. God the Son, He came and did that. But God the Holy Spirit reveals things to us. And so the plan was made by God the Father. Listen, He knew mankind would sin. He knew we're born sinners. We can't help it. Amen. Our sin nature we get from Adam. But because one could bring mankind to ruin, one could bring salvation to all. And that's the Lord Jesus. So Jesus came and died for, He lived that perfect sinless life that none of us could. He shed His precious blood that we might have life. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is the one who deals with our hearts. Amen? When I was a lost person, I needed to get saved. But I was spiritually blind because what? I was of the world. I didn't understand the spiritual things. But one day the Holy Spirit convicted my heart and said, you're lost. You need to get saved. And you know what the Holy Spirit did? The Holy Spirit, Brother Mike, pointed me to Jesus Christ. He said, this is your only way. Repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior. That's the only way you can get saved. Amen? And when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes and dwells inside you. And I remember when I first got saved and I used to do things that I used to do, and all of a sudden I felt different. All of a sudden, you know, it was okay before, but all of a sudden I felt uneasy, uncomfortable about it. What was that? That was the Spirit of God teaching me. No, you don't do that anymore. That isn't God-like. Amen? And so there was a difference there. Amen? If we won't, for time's sake, we won't go there, but Acts chapter 19, if you want to write this down, verses 1 through 6. Paul was speaking to some of the Ephesians, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And their response was, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And a lot of people, they were baptized. He asked who they were baptized. They said, we were baptized with John for repentance of sins. Were they saved? No, they didn't have the Spirit of God. Amen? They didn't have the Spirit of God. They weren't saved. They had to trust Christ and receive the Spirit. Then they were saved. There's a lot of people that come on the threshold of salvation. They get to the point where they realize they're a sinner and they need to be saved. But here's the problem. They'll come and they'll say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm going to try to do better. That's not salvation. Salvation is I'm a sinner and Christ is the Savior and I'm going to turn from my sins. I'm turning from them and trusting Him. It's not a trial basis. A lot of people, they turn and they try. Well, I'll try to do better. You can't do better. Amen? You're lost. You're a sinner. Amen? I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And what we had to do one day was realize that we were sinners and that God's a holy God and God can't excuse sin because He's holy. So He had a plan. He sent His Son to die in our place. And when we turn or repent from our sins and we turn to Him and trust Him, I believe that God sent His Son to die for my sins, and He died for my sins. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God's not going to reject you. You might say, well, you don't know me. You don't know the things I've done. Yeah, but God does. But the blood never loses its power. Amen? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Well, the blood was shed on Calvary's cross. When Jesus died on that cross, He said, it is finished. He meant the redemptive work of Christ was finished. And now we have a way to go to heaven. It's repenting of our sins and trusting Christ as our Savior. And we come to that knowledge when the Holy Spirit deals with our hearts. But once we're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. He's with us. You know, a lot of times we look at a building and say, and this is the church. No, this is the church. The people that are saved, that's the church. This is a building. Amen? This is the temple of God. And you're saying, boy, that's blasphemy. No, the Holy Spirit's in me because I'm saved. If you're saved, that's the temple of God. That's where the Holy Spirit is. Amen? And so we need to understand, listen, God loved us so much He sent His Son to die for us. And the fact that once He saves us, He doesn't want us to wander around and not know anything. So He put the Spirit of God in us so that we can learn more about God, more about the Lord, amen, and more about how to live right to bring Him honor and glory, because that's what it's about. Prior to me being saved, prior to you being saved, who did you live for? You lived for yourself. Why? Your flesh. Your flesh dictated what? Well, I want that, so you're going to do everything you can to have that. But once you get saved and you understand the love of Christ, that Christ gave Himself, all of a sudden you have the Spirit of God in you and He's trying to teach you the right way to live. It's not about you anymore, it's about Jesus. And we're to live that way, amen? And so here, as we see in that second part, was that all of a sudden things changed, amen? Isn't that wonderful to know that the Lord loves you? That not only did He save you, but He gave you the Spirit of God so you can know that you're saved, amen? And the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians, let's go there, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Verse 9, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deepest things of God. For what man knoweth the thing of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot understand the things that belong to God. He can't understand spiritual truths. The understanding can only be given by the Spirit of God. Now go to the book of Jude. Right before Revelation, next to the last book of the Bible. I want to look here, Jude, verse number 10. It says this, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. Now look down to verse number 19. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Here we have the dichotomy between the natural man and the spiritual man. Now, the word dichotomy is a division of two mutually exclusive or contradictory groups. You can't be saved and lost. You're either saved or you're lost. You're one or the other. There's no middle ground. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. You belong to one of two groups. And listen, he's saying the natural man is like an animal. Notice he said is a beast, a brute beast. Now, an animal has what? An animal has an existence. We're all existing, aren't we? Right? I was existing when I was lost. But because Christ saved me, I have life. If Christ has saved you, you have life. There's a difference. We're talking about spiritual life. We have something that they don't have. We have spiritual life. But God wants spiritual life for everyone. But He won't force you. Amen? He's not going to force a person to get saved. Now let's go back to the book of Romans. Because there in verse 19 it says, they don't have the Spirit. That's why they're lost. They don't have the Spirit. Now you go back to Romans chapter 8, back to our text. Notice here in verse number 9, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now there are three references to the Holy Spirit that we're going to look at in Romans 8. In 8:2, notice it talks about the Spirit of life. Here in verse number 9, it talks about the Spirit of Christ. And in verse number 15, it talks about the Spirit of adoption. Now, I want you to look here first in verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. The man is a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. It is our spirit where we are enabled to know God intimately. Amen? Apart from the Spirit of God, man does not have life. He only has existence. Now, how do we get that spiritual light? By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that lives inside us. Now, the Spirit of Christ. Not only does the Spirit give us life, the Spirit also connects us to the willingly be surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit came in me, and the Holy Spirit is telling me that I need to have Him as my Lord. And He's trying to do everything in His power to get me to surrender to the Lord, to do what the Lord wants me to do, to stop doing what the Lord doesn't want me to do. Now, I have a flesh, and my flesh, if I allow my flesh to dictate things, I'm going to go against the Lord every time. But He's given me the power to willingly surrender to the Lord. And as a Christian, that's what we ought to do. If you read this Bible, the Holy Spirit will reveal those things to you, that you're to live for Christ. Amen? The Bible tells us in Galatians 2:20, this is what Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And then if you go back to Philippians 2:5, it says this, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Amen? We're to have the mind like Him. What did He do? He put others ahead of Himself. He was in heaven, and the angels were shouting, holy, holy, holy. He left the portals of glory to come down to this sin-cursed earth, took on a human body, and lived a perfect, sinless life, which no one else could. Because He had the blood of God, not of man. And He died on the cross, shed His blood for us, that we might have life. And so, because of that, our mindset should be just like Him. He didn't think of Himself, He thought about us. And as Christians, for me to bow down to His Lordship is to say, I'm going to live that way too. I'm going to put others ahead of myself. I'm going to try to help out as many people as I can. There is a place, whether you want to believe it or not. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe that. You read something about, well, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. If God said it, it's true. And so God said there's only two places you're going to live. God talks about a heaven. Guess what? Whether you believe it or not, there's a heaven. God talked about hell. Whether you believe it or not, there's a hell. You're going to go to one of two places. And it's going to be based on whether you're saved or you're lost. No one is going to be able to pray you into heaven when you die. If you never trusted Christ as your Savior on this earth, when you take your last breath, it's too late. And you're going to spend eternity in hell. And what saddens me is, we have the truth. We know the truth based on the Word of God. Where is our motivation to put others first that we won't spend any time telling people about Jesus? Don't tell me that the Spirit of God hasn't dealt with you before about dealing. Listen, we have visitation on Saturdays. We go out knocking on doors to tell people about Jesus. But don't tell me for 1 minute while you're out the whole week, not one time has God, the Holy Spirit, dealt with you about saying, give that man a tract, give that woman a tract, give that child a tract. Go tell them about Jesus. Right? But you make the decision. He didn't force you to get saved, and He's not going to force you to serve Him. But because you have the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of God will want you to be like Christ. Listen, anything I do, listen, I preach, listen, that doesn't earn me a right to go to heaven. I'm a sinner just like you're a sinner. We're all sinners. The only grounds when I get to heaven, and if God was to ask me, why should I let you in my heaven, my answer is going to be Jesus. And that would be your answer, Jesus. That's the only reason. There's no other reason. He died for me. And I put my faith and trust in Him. Amen? I've never met Jesus personally. You've never met Jesus personally. But by faith we believe. And that Bible tells us that's how we're to believe. By faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Grace is unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve heaven. But there's no like happenstance that the most popular verse in the Bible, even millions of lost people know this verse, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Right? For God so loved the world, not a select few, but the whole world, that He gave, that's a gift, His only begotten Son, that whosoever... Well, you don't know how horrible my parents are, my grandparents. They were mean. They did all these bad things, and now I'm doing all these bad things. God wouldn't love me. He still loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, meaning anyone, doesn't matter what your religious background is, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? That's for everyone. Listen, if my way to heaven was based on my family history of serving God, I'd be going to hell. Many of you would be going to hell. But it's not that way. There's a lot of people, man, they're parents serve God, their grandparents serve God, their great-grandparents serve God. All their families always serve God. That doesn't guarantee they're going to heaven. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. But He offers it to all, but only those that come to Him will get that. Amen? But as a Christian, once I'm saved and I have the Spirit of God in me, my desire should be not to serve myself anymore, but to serve God. That should be what we should all do, amen? Lastly, talking about the Spirit of adoption. Let's look at verse number 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Did you get that part? When you're saved, your spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God that you're saved, that He's there. Amen? He's with you. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So we have the spirit of adoption. Adoption is a legal act whereby a man gives legal position, legal advantage, and legal privilege to someone who is not naturally or legally his son or heir. That's what God has done for us. Amen? Listen, we were born sinners. In other words, we were the very enemies of God because we were born sinners. Our blood was tainted from our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam. Amen? And because he fell, mankind fell. So when we're born, we have tainted blood. We're the very enemy of God. But God so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son. And when we accept His Son as our Savior, then we're adopted into the family of God. He adopts us into His family. Amen? We become His children, and we have all the privileges He gives us. We have, number one, we have a new relationship. He's our Heavenly Father. Amen? He's our Savior. He's our Lord. We have a new relationship. The relationship always stays the same. I cannot lose my relationship because He's adopted me. Legally, I'm His forever. Amen? He told me so. He's told us in His Word, once saved, always saved. There's a lot of people tell you you can lose your salvation. It says no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. How can I lose my salvation? He gave it to me and He said no one were kept by the power of God. Is there anything more powerful than God? No. Now we can get out of God's will. We can lose fellowship with Him when we get out in sin, but we're still His children. Amen? You have a child. Some of you have children. Some of you have grandchildren. Now, they're yours. Now, they can say, you're no longer mine. You can say all kinds of things, but they're your child. No matter what happens, they're your child. But when they get out of your will, what you want them to do, if they get out in trouble and everything else, or they do something against you or something, the fellowship is gone. You still have the relationship. The fellowship's destroyed. But with forgiveness, it's made up, right? When we come to Christ and we got sin in our lives, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He restores the fellowship. But we have to come to Him and admit, God, I'm not right with You. God, I did this and that ain't right. God, I did this and that ain't right. God, I did this and that ain't right. And Lord, I can't stand not being in fellowship. Please forgive me. The Bible said He will forgive you. Amen? That's an advantage that we have. We have that relationship with Him. We have a new relationship when we're saved. We have an assurance. What's our assurance that we're saved? The litmus test. Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Listen, someone that says they're born again, they're saved, and you don't see any change in them, I doubt they got saved. Something as big as God dwells in you, there'll be a change. I'm not saying you'll be perfect, amen, you still have a flesh, but there should be a desire to change. There should be some type of change in you. There are some people that have lived good lives. Brother Saray, there are some people that have never drank, never smoked, right? Never took drugs. Listen, they needed to be saved just as much as a person that's done those things needed to be saved. But a lot of times when those people get saved, you can't tell a huge difference because they weren't doing that to begin with. But they were still sinners. But boy, when you see someone that was a big drug addict or a drunk all the time and all of a sudden God saves them, boy, you see a huge difference, don't you? But they're saved just as the other person is. It's sad, but our church likes to glorify these people that lived in sin. But to me, praise the Lord for those people that never got into that mess. They were sinners. They needed to be saved, and they got saved. But praise the Lord that the Lord kept them from getting into that mess. Amen. They met the right decisions. Maybe they had some godly parents. Usually you'll find that out. Those people that lived those lives are usually the ones that were grown up in church, taught right, and everything else. But see, the world doesn't like that. The world, see, now they're trying their best to make everybody put their kids in this public school system, which is teaching everything, do whatever you want, except don't you say anything about Jesus. And that's what's happened. And we as Christians need to understand, listen, we have a privilege. We're going to talk about that tonight, a privilege. It's a privilege to be a Christian. Amen? We didn't deserve it. He saved us. We're going to heaven. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through right now. Man, I'm having it rough as a Christian. Boo-hoo. Cry about it a little bit. Listen, this life is just like nothing. You're talking about eternity. We can't even fathom that. Amen? I've lived 54 years. Is it four now? Gosh. 54 years. Brother Mike, 54 years I've lived on this earth. And we think, man, that's a long time compared to eternity. Listen, if you get persecuted for being a Christian, I don't care if you're persecuted your whole life. What's that compared to eternity? You're going to spend, as I said, eternity, forever, in one of two places. Heaven, hell. God provided a way through His Son, Jesus Christ, for you to go to heaven for eternity. But you have to do it His way, not your way. His way is that you confess that you're a sinner, you repent of your sins, and you trust Christ as your Savior. That's the only way you're going to heaven. And when you do that, the Spirit of God indwells in you and changes you and helps you become more like Him. That's His whole purpose anyway, was for us to be molded into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So I ask you right now, I want you to put that litmus test to you. Do you have the Spirit of God? If you do, I know you know about it. Amen? You know about Him, because He does change you. But if you don't, if you were caught up in emotions and you just made a decision, some people come to the altar because their parents are pushing them. Right? Some people come to the altar, well, my friends went, I'll go. No, you only come when you truly come, you're repenting, because all of a sudden you see how holy God is, and that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And the Holy Spirit convicts you and you come and get saved. Listen, you don't have to get saved in the church. You can get saved anywhere. You can get saved on the street. One of my good friends back home, he was a truck driver. He pulled his truck off the side of the road, got under conviction, reading a tract, pulled it off the side of the road and got saved right there on the side of the road. Amen? You can get saved anywhere. But the thing is, God won't force you. You may be here tonight and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm not saved. Or I'm not sure. I'm kind of confused. I've been taught this and I've been taught that and I'm kind of confused. Well, listen, what we do here is we don't give you my opinion. No one here is going to give you their opinion on how to be saved. We're going to show you through God's Word how to be saved. It's that easy. God made it that easy. He wants us to know that we know, that we know, that we know, that we know that we're saved. So as the pianist comes, I want everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes, no one looking around. I don't want you looking around. And I want to ask you this simple question. If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you would go to heaven? I wonder, there's someone within the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I don't know 100% sure if I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Please raise your hand so I can pray for you. Anyone, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Just lift your hand up so I can pray for you. Anyone. Just be honest. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Listen, that's the first step, is admitting you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I wonder if you're willing to step forward and come to this altar. We'll have someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We're not going to give you our opinion, as I said. We're going to show you through God's Word how God says a person is saved, a person is born again. If you need to be saved, why don't you come to this altar, raise your hand, we'll have someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Do you have the Spirit of God in you, or you're not sure? Well, you can be sure. God wants you to know. Don't put it off. Don't say, well, you know what? I've got plenty of time. I can do that next year. I can do that the following year. Listen, you don't know how much time you have. I don't know how much time I have. None of us know. But all I know is, according to God's Word, when I take my last breath, I'll face judgment. I'm going to one of two places. So don't put it off. That's the devil's tool. Put it off. Put it off. You got time. And a lot of people have done that and died and went to hell because they did not, when the Spirit dealt with their heart about getting saved, they wouldn't do it. I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you. Please come to this altar. If you're not sure, get that assurance. Sometimes people are saved and they just aren't sure, but it's wonderful to get that assurance. This altar's open. If you need to be saved, if you need to be born again, why don't you come?